Today's episode is brought to you by Wise, the account that helps you manage your money around the world, which is huge for travelers. I've been a customer and a fan for 10 years. The Wise account helps you send, spend, and receive in different currencies fast, and they do it all without hidden fees or exchange rate markups. This service has been so critical for me in my life as a traveler, as a nomad, as somebody living abroad. And you can join 16 million customers and learn how the Wise account can help you out on the road at wise.com/travel. That's Wise, WISE.com/travel, or download the app. This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. This is something I've always wanted to do here. I have to do it on the podcast sometimes. I've always wanted to just show up at the airport with some cash and say, where is your cheapest round trip ticket right now? And then just like buy a ticket at the counter and just go with the bag you have and see where you end up. I think that could be a really cool way to spend a weekend.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey, what's up? It's Jason here with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thanks for hanging out, letting me bring a little travel into your ears today. This is the show to help you travel the world on your terms to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. Couldn't be more thrilled to be turning on the mic and bringing you this solo episode. Yes, time for another one of those. You never know what you're going to get. Well, actually, I do know what you're going to get. I have a bit of a plan. Let me share with you right now. First, you're going to hear one of the best definitions of home I've ever heard. Nomads, you're going to want to take note. You're also going to hear the number one thing to think about while making the transition to full-time travel or a gap year or even just maintaining a home base but prioritizing travel. This is something that should be on the top of your list. I'm going to highlight 4 travel trends I came across. The first really surprised me. We're going to wrap it up with a call to action, something you can do today that will set yourself up for a lifetime of enjoyment. I know that sounds like a big and vague promise, but I'm going to deliver, I promise. Plus, a quote I'm carrying around in my wallet because the message means that much to me right now. Let's get into it. And as a reminder, these solo episodes, they're planned out, but the recording's raw, it's unfiltered. I'm not going to stop until I'm finished. I'm not going to pause unless something major happens. So we're going to have to see what happens. Along the way, you're going to hear all the gaffes I produce. You're going to hear the shenanigans, the tomfooleries, the words I mispronounce, the blunders and follies I commit. We'll have to wait and see what happens anyway. Who knows? Okay, let's start this one off with that first point, one of the best definitions of home I've ever heard. And here's a little behind the scenes note for you. One of the things I love about doing this podcast is I get to interview authors because I love reading, I love books, and I get the privilege of getting these books sent to me oftentimes so I can use them to prepare and bring some good interviews for you, the listener. And one of my favorite authors, Eric Weiner, is coming out with a new book called Ben and Me. You're going to hear an episode in the future about this book with him. It comes out in June, and I got this advanced copy, and I'm like, this is so cool. I feel like a spoiled little brat here. I get to read one of my favorite authors before the book is even out, and it was really cool. Anyway, in the book, which is about Ben Franklin, it's his search of a founder's formula for a long and useful life. So it's a bit of history and also taking the lessons from Ben Franklin and kind of relating them to his own life. Anyway, you'll hear a conversation about that in the future, but I've got my dog-eared copy here, and Eric's a big traveler, and there were some things that caught my eye in the travel department, because Ben Franklin himself was a big traveler as well. And one of the things I read was this definition of home that Eric pointed out. Well, there are actually 2 things in this book that caught my eye in terms of home. First, Eric brought up this term that I have thought about, but I never put a label on it, called a soul place. And a soul place would be that place that your soul identifies with. For me, that was Colorado. I always felt like That was one of my soul places anyway. I always felt like I was drawn to Colorado even before I'd ever been. I grew up in Pennsylvania. Even before I'd ever set foot in Colorado, I felt like it was a place that I needed to go, I needed to be, and I did end up there for some many years. So when I was thinking about soul place, that was one of the first ones that jumped to mind. And I feel like as travelers, we come across these places every so often that we feel this extra connection to. Who knows why? Depending on what you believe in, it could be anything. It could be the energy in the air. It could be you lived a past life there. You know, who knows? I certainly don't know. But for whatever reason, you feel extra connected. And I thought that was a really cool term, the soul place. I wonder if you have any soul places you're thinking about that jump to mind right now. Well, anyway, I was nomadic for 10 years, as some of you may know. And sometimes when you're traveling around that way and just living your life on the road, you're not sure what home is or if you'll even end up in a place that feels like home again. Home didn't really feel like where I grew up. It just happened to be where I grew up. And I mean, you can even live somewhere and not be sure where home is. Certainly, you don't have to be a nomad to have that feeling. And of course, nostalgia can also warp our sense of home. I mentioned Colorado earlier. That's a special place for me, but I lived there many years ago. Yes, I spent quality time there. The nature is so beautiful. And that is, you could say that sort of static in some ways. Obviously, it's ever changing, but you know, if you go and look at the Rocky Mountains, you're still going to see the Rocky Mountains. But the place itself, the people, the population, how it's changed, it's not the same place, and I'm not the same person. So would I still love it the way I did those many years ago? I can pine for this place in Colorado, but is it more about pining for a certain time? You know, nostalgia can kind of mess things up, I think. And so I think that's important to just remember if you're thinking about a place, sort of longing for another place. Is it the place you're longing for, or is it another time in your life that you're longing for, or just, you know, you miss or you're reflecting on, or maybe you haven't mourned yet? Sometimes we have to mourn these chapters of our lives that sort of ended. Maybe it ended abruptly and we never really got the chance to kind of process it. Who knows? Again, I told you, I didn't know where this was going to go. I'm on a rant here, but maybe that's something we need to do too. Maybe we have to mourn these closed chapters for our lives. Anyway, if you had to have a definition of home, I read a great one in this book. I have not thought about this before. Maybe this is the best definition of home you can come up with. Who knows? So the true definition of home, according to Eric, quote, not where you want to live, but where you want to die, end quote. That's some powerful stuff. I thought, wow, okay. Where do you want to die? And that would be the place you want to come back to and be. Who knows what the answer to that is right now? I'm just bringing it up here because I thought it was an interesting way to think about it. And maybe as you're listening to this, you're considering a move or who knows what's going on in your life. But maybe that idea of kind of reframing it, like if home is where I want to die, where do I actually want to be? Maybe that brings some clarity. Who knows? I don't know. I just like to share here and you take it for what you will. Okay. So we're wrapping that up. Now, let's go into the number one thing to think about when you're making the transition to full-time travel. At least, in my opinion, one of the top things should be at the top of the list. Now, it is not easy to make the transition from a typical lifestyle to a more unconventional one, whether it's involving travel or otherwise. I'm reading part of this from a newsletter I sent out recently, which is where some of this comes from. It's some of the newsletter roundup. If you're not on the newsletter, by the way, it's free, zerototravel.com/newsletter. And you can get some helpful links and some of this stuff. So anyway, I like to pull some of the stuff I shared there and put it on the Solos episodes. So like I said, not easy to make the transition from a typical lifestyle to a more unconventional one. Definitely takes a commitment along with a series of practical steps and decisions that all lead to the same place. In your case, perhaps that's travel. And so those decisions will inevitably make you face questions that are bigger than travel. For example, you know, should you quit your job? Is this even the career you want? Is this relationship going to work with your travel goals? What should you do with your house or apartment? Do you want to live in this town? You know, all these big questions. And that's what happens when you make a big pivot in life. Sometimes you're faced with the big questions that you've been avoiding, which I think is a good thing. But if there's one starting point outside of committing with your heart and soul to travel or some other unconventional path you want to leave, something that can act as a solid foundation for what follows, I think a good idea is to focus on money. Is that surprising? I don't know. I'd say specifically your money mindset. And this might sound silly to some people because thinking about how you think about money is not something I thought about earlier on in my journey. But later on, I realized how important that was because you have to be aware of the values you have around money. And a lot of those values, just like a lot of other values, can sometimes be implanted by well-meaning, perhaps well-intentioned friends and family, but maybe they don't align with your vision for life. And so then you have to dig out those weeds that may be holding you back. Of course, it takes money to travel. It takes money to move. It takes money to do these things. And so if you've never explored your money mindset in depth, or you haven't recently, I think a good starting point is to read or listen to, I listened to the audiobook, a book called The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. As it states in the synopsis of the book, quote, in the real world, people don't make financial decisions on a spreadsheet. They make them at the dinner table or in a meeting room where personal history, your own unique view of the world, ego, pride, marketing, and odd incentives are scrambled together. In The Psychology of Money, award-winning author Morgan Housel shares 19 short stories exploring the strange ways people think about money and teaches you how to make better sense of one of life's most important topics, end quote. And this book has like 46,000 reviews or something. So it's definitely worth a listen. So anytime you want to pivot to a new lifestyle, business, career, or something, I do think it's worth taking a fresh look at your money mindset, making sure it's lined up with where you want to go next. That's just my two cents. Haha. There's my little dad joke for the day. But no, I do think it is important. And, you know, some of the messaging I got and still get sometimes is, you know, it's not really aligned with the abundance mentality I want to have. And that can get in the way of the things I want to do and I'm trying to accomplish. So I'm going to say maybe accomplish is the wrong word, but I don't want my money mindset to interfere with my creative work, essentially, or what I want to do in my life. And I don't want to be limited in any way or feel limited. I know money doesn't grow on trees, but hearing that over and over again isn't necessarily beneficial to where I'm trying to go. So things like that, you know, people saying that, you know, if your parents believed that, I'll give you a specific example, one of your parents believed that, you know, everybody that had money was a total jerk and then they weren't worth anything as a human being. We all know that people with money or without money, they can do kind things, they can do terrible things. This is just humanity. But if that's like a block for you, it may be blocking you from having abundance in your own life. So anyway, I don't want to like, this isn't the secret. I'm not trying to say you're going to sit here and manifest a bunch of money in your life or anything like that. I'm just saying it's good to be aware of your money mindset and where it's at and to revisit that, especially when you're trying to make these big pivots. Hope that is helpful. Okay. Now, I want to highlight four travel trends I came across in a fairly recent article by Condé Nast Traveler, Travel Trends 2024. And it was a well-researched article, which is why I'm pointing to this one, because there are a lot of travel trends articles out there. And, you know, anybody can write anything online and they can do it just to target a keyword and get web traffic. But this one seemed pretty thought out and they are in the travel industry. And I'm not going to read all of the trends in the article. I can link to it in the show notes, but I just wanted to highlight a few that caught my eye and why. First of all, the number one, this was surprising to me, something I've never done, something I've never thought about doing, but I guess it's popular, and that's astrotourism. This is, quote, according to the article, the act of traveling with the aim of catching sight of astronomical phenomena, disappearing to lands devoid of any pollution, crowds, and traffic, where we can focus solely on the skies above and while away, hours gazing at the stars, planets, and constellations overhead. I can understand why that's a big travel trend. I actually love it because, well, it's going to take you to places that you might not normally go. If you want to see a solar eclipse or something and there's only certain places to go to do it, let's say it's, you know, the best place to do it is in St. Louis and you might not have had St. Louis on your list of places to visit. I'm just making that one up, but you get the idea. I think anytime you can pursue travel in a unique way and it takes you somewhere that is just completely unexpected for something, whether it's a concert or astrotourism or anything else, I think that's a pretty cool way to travel because you're going to get a completely unexpected experience. And this is something I've always wanted to do here. I have to do it on the podcast sometimes. I've always wanted to just show up at the airport with some cash and say, where is your cheapest round trip ticket right now? And then just like buy a ticket at the counter and just go with the bag you have and see where you end up. I think that could be a really cool way to spend a weekend. We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off-the-beaten-path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys, and it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds, so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there, and that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself, and that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. If you love coffee like me, let me tell you how you can get an incredible cup of coffee, whether you're at home or on the road. You can use what I use, which is the AeroPress. Have you seen this? This is a device that uses a patented 3-in-1 brew technology. It combines the flavor benefits of espresso, pour over, and French press into one compact, portable device built for travel or home. The AeroPress has over 55,000 five-star reviews in 60 countries, plus it's the best reviewed coffee press on the planet. That tells you something, and it makes an incredible gift under $50. Get one for yourself or somebody you care about. Pick yours up at aeropress.com/zero to travel. That's AeroPress, AeroPress.com/zero to travel. Use the promo code zero to travel, all one word, to save 20% off your order. That's 20% off. Thank you to AeroPress for the delicious coffee and for supporting today's show. Now, back to the show. Number 3 in this article was home swapping, and I'm not surprised about this one. I think this is a great thing for long-term travel, for remote workers, for people that are spending a lot of time on the road. What a great way to eliminate one of your top expenses, which is accommodations. And if I can swing a gap year with my family, this is absolutely going to be at the top of the list in terms of my travel tools, are one of the things I want to implement to save money swapping homes, because I have a place here in Oslo, and this is a desirable place, I think, for people to come and stay for free because Norway is expensive. So, by the way, if you're listening to this and you want to swap your home with me and you got a home in a cool spot, drop me a line, jason@zerototravel.com. I would love to entertain that. Anytime you could kind of swap and have that mutually beneficial arrangement, and everybody can save. It's like a win-win for everybody, right? We've had Home Exchange on the podcast before. That's one of these organizations that do this. There is some other ones that do it specifically for certain groups of people. I know there's some for traveling nurses and different things like that. So anyway, home swapping, if you have a home and that's something you haven't thought about for a while or considered, just wanted to bring that back up on your radar. Number 6 on their list was this idea of cool-cationing. And this is a quote, I'll read from the article, quote, "With the intense record-breaking temperatures of recent years, however, many are considering traveling in the opposite direction, booking coolcations in temperate destinations, which also benefit from being less crowded," end quote. So that's the idea. This idea of going to a place that is colder in terms of climate. I'm definitely seeing this in Norway. I've seen tourism just go up and up and up, and having read the stories and being based in Europe, seeing how the heat, I mean, you know this as a traveler, if you've been in a place where it's just super hot, it can be so debilitating in some ways. I know that sounds dramatic, but when it's so incredibly hot, it can be exhausting, And so we just got back from a trip to Rome pretty recently. Went to Rome in February. What a great time. I always think it's a great time to go to cities in the winter. You know, who cares? You're inside, you're doing museums, you're doing a lot of stuff. I can still eat gelato in the cold. It's no problem. I'd much rather have a jacket on and pants and be running around doing stuff than be in the sweltering heat. And I think a lot of other travelers, although perhaps limited in terms of time for the summers and when they have off, starting to see the value in, you know, maybe not going to Rome or Spain or some of these places when it's at the peak of summer, because it's just so hot and it's getting hotter with climate change in a lot of these places. It's just a scientific fact. And so you see a lot of people now coming, you know, me personally, just a little bit of my own observations in terms of trends. I've seen this happening in Norway. I've seen tourism increasing. And I believe that's a big factor why. And there's a combination of things why. I also think Scandinavia is a really great place to visit right now. Well, of course, I live here, so I'm a little biased. But, you know, the climate, which, let me be clear, you can come in July and it can be raining the entire month and miserable. So if you're not up for that, you might want to be careful. But if you're up for some, who knows what's going to happen, summer weather, but it's generally cool. Also, the exchange rates are pretty favorable in terms of for most people traveling to Scandinavia now. So that might make this the sweet spot to explore Scandinavia. Who knows? Okay. Along those lines, number nine, their headline was peak season gets the cold shoulder. Quote, shoulder season travel is also becoming more attractive due to rising temperatures and more feasible due to flexible working. Layered on top of these practical considerations is an emotional motivation too. Travelers are craving authenticity more than ever, seeking a tranquil and local feel when abroad rather than beaches that resemble a Where's Waldo scene, end quote. So that was our little blurb for this peak season gets the cold shoulder. I mean, I don't know. Is this a trend? This isn't really anything new, at least I think for most travelers in our circle. Speaking of you and me, like we know that we want to visit a place when it's not peak season. And I have to visit places sometimes during peak season because that's just what my schedule dictates. And it's always annoying. I mean, I much rather prefer to do like a Rome in February or something, like an off-season type of thing, because there is more opportunity to connect with locals in a place and everything like that. So not a surprising trend there, but figured I'd just point it out and highlight it. Okay. Where are we at? Let's see. Well, I was going to wrap it up with a call to action, but let me first read a listener email. This isn't something I added on the list, but I have it here in my document. I did get an email from a listener, Joanne. She wrote me from Arizona. Let me find her question. She says, I know you're probably not going to know the answer, but are there any types of experiences like that? And what she meant was experiences that are programs that where you can work where you're over 30 years old, doing some type of visa where you're allowed to stay in another country. And these are offered, you know, in New Zealand, for example, and Australia, they have these working visas where you can go, and it's called a working holiday visa. And you could Google that if you want. And you can find these working holiday visas where you can go and you can work on farms or do these different jobs, and you can stay in the country legally for, you know, sometimes a couple of years. I mean, it can vary. I'm bringing this up because if anybody here is listening and they're 30 or under, if you are interested in having an experience like this, just Google working holiday visa and you can find some of these opportunities. If you are 30 and older, the only one I really know of, for at least for U.S. citizens, is Canada. It seems like they can go up to 35. But another alternative might be to teach English abroad. A lot of people do that in Korea and Japan. You could get a job on a cruise ship, for example, and get paid to see the world. There are all these digital nomad visas now. So you can figure out a way to earn an income online, sometimes even a small amount, and you can live in a country for a while legally. So if you're somebody that wants to base somewhere for an extended period of time, these are some of the avenues for you. I understand that might be frustrating in Joanna's case, like she wants to go and, you know, do one of these sort of manual labor jobs or do one of these in another country. And then, but she's past that 30-year-old cutoff age. And I get that that's frustrating. But then you have to look at some of these other alternatives and these other potential paths. Of course, where there's a will, there is a way. You could also do the old-fashioned thing and just show up and try to do work exchanges through like workaway.info or generally figure it out as you go. Maybe not as popular nowadays with the internet, but that's how people used to do it. I mean, you'd show up. I remember meeting a guy in a hostel in southern France, and he was just like, you know, I was like, what are you doing today? He's just like, oh, I'm walking down to the docks where all the boats are and try to find a job, you know, painting one of the boats or so I can get on one of these boats working, perhaps leading to a ride or something. And, you know, this still happens, of course. And that's a beautiful thing too. You know, not everything needs to be pre-planned. There is something about, okay, how can I just keep figuring this out as I go? And sometimes that can involve these in-person interactions and serendipity and the like. That's always, to me, it's always been a more rewarding way to kind of take the next step than to just fill out an application online and get it. Although both have their uses for sure. So anyway, little side note there. I just wanted to bring that up for anybody listening and that strikes a chord. There you go. Try to pick one of those paths and just go for it. Now, I'm going to leave you with this quote I'm carrying around on my wallet. First, we do have to wrap it up with a call of action. This is something you can do today that can set yourself up for a lifetime of enjoyment. I know that sounds crazy. It's a little over the top. Okay. Might sound like a little bit hyperbole, but here we go. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with Dr. Carol Susan Dweck's work. She's a doctor of psychology, and she came up with this concept of the fixed mindset and the growth mindset. And just for simplicity's sake, I didn't want to rewrite all of this. I'm just going to read from Wikipedia, so because they already have it clear. So you can understand the difference between these two, and perhaps this is something you've heard before, then you can just kind of revisit this. If you're hearing it for the first time, here it goes. So according to Carol Dweck, individuals can be placed on a continuum according to their views of where ability originate from a fixed to a growth mindset. An individual's mindset affects the, quote, motivation to practice and learn. Again, this is all from Wikipedia. I'm just quoting it. So here we go. People with a fixed mindset believe that intelligence is static and little can be done to improve ability. Feedback is seen as evaluation of their underlying ability, and success is seen as a result of this ability, not any effort expended. Failure is intimidating since it suggests constraints or limits they would not be able to overcome. Those with a fixed mindset tend to avoid challenges, give up easily, and focus on the outcome. They believe that their abilities are fixed and effort has little value. Okay, now on the other side, quote, those with a growth mindset believe that intelligence can be developed and their abilities can be increased by learning. They tend to embrace challenges, persevere in the face of adversity, accept and learn from failure, focus on process rather than outcome, and see abilities as skills which are developed through effort. Feedback and failure are seen as opportunities to increase ability, signaling the need to pay attention, invest effort, apply time to practice and master the new learning opportunity. End quote. So again, it's all from Wikipedia. I can link to the page. The point is, well, what is the point? I think the point is, one, to just draw attention back to this concept of fixed mindset versus growth mindset. And, you know, perhaps as individuals, we can fall into both camps depending on what's going on in our life. I mean, I've certainly been in moments where I have tried to do things and I've been discouraged. And just, you know, kind of saying to myself, I just don't have this talent. You know, this is just not something, I'm just not going to be good at this. You know, I have a lot of self-conscious attitudes like that internally around music and songwriting and things like that. But I don't want to have a fixed mindset around that stuff. And overall, I think I do have a growth mindset. But sometimes that fixed mindset attitude, you can kind of latch on to that. Or at least I can. You have to remember, okay, let's just like think of, if we're thinking about this visually, let's think about this growth mindset as like the overarching thing that's going to squash any small fixed mindset things that pop up. So like the growth mindset is like your foot, and the fixed mindset is a little tiny weed that's growing up on the grass. And then anytime like it starts to pop up and it gets too big, you just like, you crush it with your foot or you pull it out with your hands. And you remember that you are of the growth mindset, and that's the way you want to approach life. And so I think all of this means that it's exciting because it's never too late. And so the call to action here, and I found this such an enjoyable exercise in putting this together for you, and something that's given me a chance to reflect, because I make this podcast for me too, so I can remind myself of some of the values that are important to me, and it's super helpful. So, you know, it's never too late. You can pick a new skill you want to learn today and think about it this way. Think about a skill that you would like to dive into, again, going back to the growth mindset, focusing on the process rather than the outcome, but picking a skill that will benefit you for a long time, possibly for the rest of your life, and then committing to learning it and just enjoying the process of it, not expecting to master it. I think this is super powerful. You know, an example that I'm doing right now, that I'm going through, is learning to use Logic, which is a music recording software. I always do my songwriting with just an acoustic guitar and like paper. I'm writing things down. And I want to be able to just like get a decent sounding demo down. And even though I'm not unsavvy when it comes to audio, I mean, I record this podcast for you. It's really basic stuff. But these programs can do so much. And what happens is every time I go in to do something, I just end up getting frustrated because like I'm doing less of the music making and more of just like the, what button do I click to do this thing I want to do? And it gets super annoying and I just give up. The software basically stops me from creating. And if I can just spend some time getting over that hump, I know I can overcome it. And if I learn that, I started watching YouTube videos yesterday. It's not like that much fun for me to learn a software program, but if I can get to the point where I can use it as a tool to make the sounds that I hear in my head, then that's going to become an enjoyable thing eventually. And so there's going to be some struggle, but it's an example of a skill I want to learn that was going to benefit me for a long time. It's going to support my creativity. And that's worthwhile. You know, I used to cook breakfast at a diner when I was in high school. I was a short order cook, among other things. And because of the time doing that, I know how to make delicious eggs and omelets now. I almost eat them every day. I can just whip up an incredible omelet. If you come over, I'll whip you up an omelet. You know, making a killer cup of coffee, any of these things that you do every day, it's like, what if I took this to the next level? What if I figured out how to make the best cup of coffee I could? You know, whatever. You get the idea. You can pick a skill that you want to learn, thinking about something that will benefit you for a really long time, and then commit to just going down the path. That's the call to action I wanted to have here. I think that does a couple things. First, it allows you to embrace the growth mindset, the idea that it's never too late. I mean, culturally, I think like, yeah, do I wish I was playing more guitar when I was a teenager and had all the time in the world and wasn't wasting it? Of course, but that time's gone now and here we are. But I could start today doing something and, you know, 3-5 years from now, I could still be doing it. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, painting, you know, whatever, drawing, anything like that. It takes time to learn. You can start today. So I just got really excited by that idea. And I find that to be invigorating, I guess, as a way to start the day, end the day today. That's going to be the call to action. Okay. So let me know what you pick. Yeah, get in touch. Drop me an email. If you want a house swap, you want to let me know what skill you picked, drop me a line or just leave me a voicemail. Let me know what's going on. This is a two-way conversation. You know, I preach it all the time. This is a community-powered show. I make the show for you. I'd love to hear from listeners. So please get in touch anytime. Okay, this quote now I'm going to leave you with. I'm carrying it around in my wallet. It's from Paramahansa Yogananda, whose book I'm rereading, The Autobiography of a Yogi. Wonderful book. This is my third or fourth time reading it now. A lot of great lessons in it. And he has this quote I'm carrying around. Quote, learn to be calm and you will always be happy. End quote. So simple, right? Seems pretty straightforward. I can't always be calm, but I'm trying, guys. I'm trying. Okay. That's what I got for you. How did it go? I hope it went well. Anyway, I had fun recording it for you. Didn't expect to do this today, but that's one of the fun things about creative work. You feel inspired, just like, you know what? Put this episode together for you today. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it for you. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll see you next time. Peace and love to you and yours. Cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.